mercy will work for us. Otherwise, there's no point in crying out if God is going to be a harsh judge who says, I would answer you, but you have not been good enough lately. I would respond to you, but you realize I've been trying to teach you something, and so I'm not going to grant that prayer until I've taught you this thing. You realize that you do not deserve this because you let me down so many times. And otherwise, I would have answered your prayer. I could, but I won't. Now that, many times, is what the enemy begins speaking to us when we begin to cry out to God. When something in us says, I don't know if there's a God or not. I don't know how close God is to me, whatever it is. And somehow, but I just got to cry out to somebody. And even the world that does not know that there's a God, even the world that's not convinced of God, knows that there's a God. Did you know that? Did you know it says in the book of Romans that the world actually knows that there's a God? That nobody has an excuse someday to stand before God and say, well, I didn't know there was a God. It says that even the design of this world is so obvious, it's obvious, it says, to every human being that has ever lived, that nobody has an excuse to say, I didn't know. Now, we want to talk this morning about that cry, not of the righteous, which would refer to the children of God, but the cry of the needy. That as we cry out, just in our desperation, in our need, God responds to us. And I tell you, that's all you need to do is have a need. Does anyone here have a need? The covenant of mercy is for the cry of the needy. God hears with merciful ears the cry of the needy. The covenant that God has established from of old cannot be changed. God himself would have to change his character, his nature, his very being, if he went back on this word. Now, when you're in trouble, it's helpful to know that. In the sermon, it just sounds like an interesting concept, an idea, something that the pastor develops, and, you know, by golly, he's got several scriptures, and he's made a pretty good point. But, you know, when you're in trouble, you don't want to have some sermon that some minister made up. You want to know that if you're needy, there is a God who will answer, and his answer will be yes. You don't want it to be perhaps, maybe. You don't want to know if maybe God might answer if. You don't want any conditions. You just want to know, Lord, do I have solid ground here? Am I an absolutely sure and certain? Because the doctor is saying to me this. Because my bank account says this. Because my neighbors are saying thus. Because I feel guilty before you in this manner. Now, is it true that you are a merciful God? Is it true that I can absolutely, without condition, depend upon you if all I have is a need? And if all I do is cry out with a loud cry? Because it's important, you know, when you have a need that you don't just go, God, please help me. That's not quite a cry. You see, he answers the cry of the needy. That cry must be loud. We cannot keep our composure. You see, we're getting down to death. We're getting down to poverty. We're getting down to forgiveness. We're getting down to the basic things of life. It's not business as usual. We're talking about you need a God when business as usual doesn't work. Now, later you find out that there is no such thing as business as usual. That you need thee every hour. We always need God. Every moment, every second, every breath, we live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God continually. Man shall not live by bread alone. Man cannot live by his own strength, by his own power. Apart from me, you can do nothing, saith the Bible. John 15, verse 6. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You know, but at first it doesn't appear that way. It looks like we can do a lot of things without God. I think all of us have thought to ourselves, well, you know, that's an exaggeration. And then we tried it for a while and we realized that was no exaggeration at all. You can do nothing without God. And that takes years. I don't think children can get a hold of that. I think for young people, it does look like God does a few things, perhaps. In scientific circles, they call that the God of the gaps. You know, when you run out, he does a few things. There's a few gaps in science. When science can't do it, like the doctor said to me the other day, I said, well, do you give my dad no hope? And he said, that's right, I give him absolutely no hope. He said, but there is a possibility, and that's on your side. You know, was just saying, you know, now we take it out of the realm of medicine. Now we're into whatever that thing is. He didn't want to say God or prayer. But he said, that's kind of your department now. You know, maybe there's some hope there. Because I give him zero hope. And now the man was humble enough not to say, and therefore there is no hope. But he himself couldn't speak with any kind of assurance or surety that there is hope. I mean, he, with all the readings he has and all the numbers that he's looking at, and all the things that he has learned by his experience, he had to say, well, there isn't any hope, but you know, I've said that before, and I've noticed sometimes things happen, so it's on your side now. There is kind of a God of the gaps. You know, when science can't figure it out, maybe God will come to pass. Other than that, we don't seem to need him. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Everybody needs God all the time, whether they know it or not. Now, we can't prove that to the world, but I tell you, as you live long enough, you realize that. You come to understand that you don't know all the things you know, and you can't do all the things you can do. That everything is a miracle of God. It's the mercy of God. So when the righteous cry, God hears them. But even if they're not righteous and they just cry out and say, God, I don't have a basis here, but I believe in your word. I've heard by your reputation that there's a base somehow. It's either in Abraham or David or Jesus, but somehow there's a covenant that must be for me. You remember when Esau and Jacob were fighting together over the blessings and over the birthright and so on. Then Esau came back and said to his father, he said, there must be something for me left. I've given everything to Jacob. He cheated me out of it. And, you know, I was foolish enough to do it. But gosh, I'm the firstborn. Isn't there something for me? And there wasn't. Except kind of a little something, you know. But you see, with Jesus Christ, we've been told you never get second best. We've been told that nobody is on the outs. If you know the word, you realize that when you cry out, God will hear you. Now, a lot of times people cry out, but they don't know if they're going to be heard or not. And so they doubt in their heart. They begin to waver. But knoweth this, that when you are needy and you cry out to God, He will answer you. You say, but what if it's at the point of death? God can raise the dead. I mean, what if the doctors say his heart is 90% gone? I mean, they're just a few tissues there. It's not enough to really sustain life. Do you think that's a problem for God? I think a half a tissue would be enough. An eighth of a tissue. You know, God can create a new tissue out of no tissue. Did you know that? Oh, that's stretching things a bit. That's kind of the God of the gaps. God not only can do it, He has done it. And we have people in this church that can testify that God has done such a thing. I don't know if a scientist would agree with it. But I'll tell you, there are lots of doctors in this city, and there are lots of doctors throughout this world that can testify that there are things that happen that shouldn't have happened. Elizabeth was just saying the other day that a boy went into the hospital who had destroyed eardrums, scarred and so on. He had about 25% hearing in each. And that she heard about this as one of the staff members' children at Rhema Church there in Johannesburg. And she said, let me pray. I think the man's name was Sid. Sid, let me pray for your son. And he said, please. And she prayed for him. And he went into the doctor the next day. And the doctor said, this isn't the same boy. He said, is this the same boy we've been looking at? He said, he has perfect ears. He has his eardrums. This cannot be so. Because they were grafting him. They were already doing it. They were already in the process of grafting his eardrums. And they said, we can't believe this. This is a miracle. Well, there are doctors that can testify that God does things that can't be done. People who have no feet have feet. Robert has testified of many miracles where someone had no eyes and suddenly they had eyes, no fingers, and they have fingers. God can do anything. Now, the Bible says that. Some of us have experienced that. But you must know that it doesn't require anything on your part but to believe that God is merciful and that when you have a need, that's all there's to it. Just cry out. You don't have to have good theology. This is the only theology you need. God keeps covenant. God is merciful. Now, in the Hebrew text, the word for mercy is hesed. H-E-S-E-D. Actually, it's a C-H. It goes like this. Hesed. Now, that is the word you can almost feel like coming right out of the belly. Chesed. Because it's the bowels of God. It's the loving kindness that comes right out of the bowels or the innards of God. Now, that word, the Hebrews have what they call alliterative words, which means they almost sound like what they are. You know, like Eve, when Adam called his wife Eve, her name was Eva. Eva. Because he said that she was living, life, breath. And so he called her Eva. And you see, you can almost hear it in the word. Whereas Hesed comes right out of the bowels. You know. And so sometimes these Hebrew words kind of speak what they are. Well, the Hesed of God is the loving kindness and mercy of God, which is the very being of God. And He can't change that covenant. If God changed, then He would cease to be God. And this world would cease to be. In other words, you can totally depend upon that. If you have a need. Now let's look at Luke, the 18th chapter, beginning at verse 34. We want to welcome our radio audience this morning. Those who are listening on KWJS, we thank God that we're able to speak to you from the Word of God. We're looking at Luke, the 18th chapter, verse 34. We pray this morning that you will learn about the mercy of God, about the cry of the needy, that when you're in need, you can cry out to God. Verse 34, chapter 18, Luke. And they understood none of these things that Jesus was speaking to them about His death and resurrection. And this saying was hidden from them, neither knew they the things which were spoken. Now Jesus is about to die. He was telling them that. He was walking toward Jerusalem. He was coming to His last city before He got to Jerusalem. And that city was Jericho. Now in Jericho He would meet a man named Bartimaeus who was blind. Now Bartimaeus had no hope whatsoever in this world except to sit there and to beg. He was poor. He was in the richest city in all of Israel. It just so happens that Jericho is at the bottom of the Red Sea. It's actually at the top of the Red Sea, but I mean it's at the bottom of elevation, 1,300 feet below sea level. And it's at the headwaters of the Red Sea where the River Jordan comes down right into the Red Sea. It's one of the richest areas on the face of the earth. The grapefruit there, they're not the size of basketballs, but they're huge. I've eaten some there. They're delicious. They're huge. The apples, the oranges, not apples, but oranges, and other citrus fruit that grow there are the best in the world. Now, this was a extremely wealthy city, and the man who would be the IRS man there would really be wealthy. The man who would be the... And that's Zacchaeus. This is his hometown, and the next story is all about Zacchaeus. We'll allude to him today. But we want to talk about another man who's at the opposite end of the scale in the same city. His name is Bartimaeus. Now, Bartimaeus is the needy one. Zacchaeus is not. Except, if you understand that Zacchaeus, who didn't really know his need, actually was hated by the people and had a bigger need than that. He had a need to be accepted by God for his sins. And Jesus met that need. Now, Bartimaeus cried out. Zacchaeus didn't cry out, but his heart was crying out. And Jesus, the merciful one, heard that cry. Now, I want you to look, and we're going to compare these two stories in the 18th chapter of Luke. It's a powerful chapter. And it came to pass that as Jesus was come nigh unto Jericho, this is about 15 miles away from Jerusalem, and it's all uphill, a certain man, blind man, a certain one, that is, he has his name. This is not just a parable or a story. When it says certain in the Bible, it means this is a certain blind man. That is his name. In another scripture, we're told his name is Bartimaeus. Sat by the wayside begging. Why was he begging? Because he didn't have a job. Why didn't he have a job? Because he couldn't see. And they didn't have any schools for the blind in those days. They didn't have any books they could read. They didn't have any way of training those people. So this man had been blind, and he had no hope whatsoever of ever attaining to anything in this life. He would stay at the bottom of the caste system. We talked about that last time. He would stay down at the bottom. And Zacchaeus had never given him anything, or maybe he had thrown a nickel or two his way. But it's likely Zacchaeus might have collected taxes from the guy. You know, Hey, I see you made a quarter today. I'll take 5 cents of that, you know. It's quite likely Zacchaeus was so harsh and he was a thief. Because he later confessed to Jesus, you know, if I've extorted, if I've stolen, if I've taken anything from anyone, which, you know, Zacchaeus knew that he had. I mean, and if I have, I'll restore it fourfold. Well, he had. Suddenly Bartimaeus, not only got healed that day, but he got some money that day. Because this man, Zacchaeus, was hated by the people of God. Isn't that typical of the church? Hello? You'll notice something in here. The church told Zacchaeus to shut up. The church told Bartimaeus to shut up. The church doesn't like God to show mercy to blind people. The church doesn't really believe that God is merciful. You know, when the church, I'm talking about the average church, when it gets into trouble, it looks to man, period. It doesn't believe that God mercifully will change the situation. When you really get in trouble, you know, when you first get in trouble, they might say, well, you know, our hope is in God. But when it actually gets down to it and the doctor says there's no hope, the church usually said, nah, you just pray now that you'll have the strength to endure this thing. And you prepare yourself for heaven. You get ready because it's all over with. Am I not speaking the truth? The church today does not know the power of God. Neither did it in the first century. Never has it. The church has always been the greatest enemy of God. Hear me. The church has always been. That is, when we speak of that, we mean religion in general. The religious folk. And so here's Bartimaeus, a blind man, and Jesus is coming into town. And this guy's sitting by the roadside, and the crowds are going out to meet him. And hearing the multitudes, verse 36, pass by, he asked what it meant. Hey, what's happening? What's happening? You know, dust is kicked up in the guy's face. What's happening? What's happening? And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. He's driving through. Praise God that he was walking, huh? Praise God, because otherwise he might not have seen this guy hitchhiking, you know. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me! And all of a sudden, you know, the people said, shut up, you old man. You know, there's this guy sitting by the roadside, and here's multitudes of people going out to see Jesus, the popular one, you know, the head guy, the big shot. And they're going out there, and here's this scrubby-looking guy at the side of the road saying, Jesus, son of David, have mercy. Shut up. We're trying to go to Jesus right now, the merciful one. And, you know, this is an old man, tattered and torn, and it's easy for the church that believes in mercy to pass up people who need it. It's easy for us to walk into church and pass by people that need the mercy of God. Isn't it? Isn't it? It's easy to believe in mercy but not practice it. And so here's this guy crying out, and they're telling him, shut up, bear your pain, brother. You've sinned. Man, you need justice, not mercy. We want justice for you. We're going to go get some mercy here, but you need justice. You are obviously a bad person. You deserve this thing. Hang on. Bear it. Bear it. Have you ever thought that? I have. I thought, well, they're just getting their due. You know, this has not happened to me, obviously, you know. I'm right. Now, this guy was an irritation to them. He starts yelling out. And so this is what they said. And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. Shut up. Hold. Just bear this, brother. Here's a little pamphlet on how to bear suffering. Oh, you can't read. Well, we got one here in Braille, you know. And so they didn't want Bartimaeus to cry out like that. That was embarrassing. That was ruining this whole thing. You know, I mean, after all, Jesus was here, and it's, you know, he's God, and this thing is kind of sacred. And here's this scrubby guy at the side of the road. He has no learning. The guy had never gone to school. He was poor. He was ignorant. You know, the only thing this guy had was need. That's all he had. But listen to what the guy says. He says, Jesus, thou son of David. Why did he say that? Interesting. This guy is not so stupid after all. You know, he had heard about this son of David. You know, he said to himself, I live in Jericho, and Jericho is, you know, that's part of the Judah thing. I've heard about King David. I'm part of this thing too. I'm part of this covenant thing. And I've heard that David had the mercy of God covenant. Now, I'm going to show you in a second where he got this. Because if you've ever read the book of Psalms, you realize that about a fourth of them talk about the covenant that God made with David. Now, many of the Psalms are written by Moses. Others are written by Solomon. But a lot of them are written by David. There are several authors to the Psalms. And this man had heard somewhere along the road, as he was sitting there, he'd heard some religious people maybe even, repeating the Psalms. I don't know how he heard it, but if he heard it as a child or somewhere along the line, he had heard this, and he knew that this son of David had a covenant that was merciful, and he'd heard the stories that people were telling. Imagine, he's kind of a busybody here. You know, imagine being blind. He wants to know everything that's going on because he can't see. So he probably always asking people, hey, what's happening? What's happening? What's happening today? What's happening over there? And they're telling him, Jesus of Nazareth, Capernaum today. He did this and he did that. Jesus of Nazareth, he's in Cana today. He did this and he did that. And now he heard he's in his city. And so he said, he's come here? Jesus, thou son of David. In other words, that means thou who has the covenant of mercy. I've got a need. Have mercy upon me. And they which went before him rebuked him that he should hold his peace, but he cried so much the more. I love it. You know, when you are desperate, I don't care what the church tells you, you know better. You know, when you're desperate and the people of God say, there's no hope for you, you're not part of this thing, and you know you've heard that Jesus is better than that, you just write the church off as hypocrites. People have done that. We have a world full of people out there, and I think there are many listening to the radio broadcast this morning, that have gone to the church for help and have not gotten it. They've gone to the church with sick bodies and they haven't been healed. They've gone without money and the church has not helped them. They've gone looking for salvation and for hope and they haven't gotten it. They've gone and heard all kinds of poetic sermons, but they didn't meet the living God. But this man, Bartimaeus, he didn't care about theology. He didn't care about church etiquette, protocol. He didn't want to come into the church and behave himself. He said, look, I know I'm messing things up, but I don't care. I've got one life to live and it's almost over and I want to see. And that's all I know. I don't know about a lot of theology of sin and all that stuff. I know I don't deserve anything. I don't have any doubt about that. But I'll tell you one thing. If there's such a thing as mercy, I want it. I want mercy. I'm not asking for justice. I'm just saying I've got a need, and I hear God is a merciful God. I hear that He keeps covenant. Please, Jesus, show mercy now. I've heard about You. I'm not going to let go until You bless me. So he just cried out all the more. The more the church told him to shut up. You see, the church has taught from the beginning to bear your troubles, to bear them. In fact, that's the essence in the heart of the church's teaching, is that this world is a veil of woe and tears, and the only way you can make it through, for the most part, for the most people, is just tough it out. And if you're poor, that's the will of God. If you're sick, that's the will of God. Bear it, brother. Just bear it with dignity. Don't shout. Don't start being silly and childish. Just bear it like a man. You know, don't... Bartimaeus, what's wrong with you? Don't you see that it's the will of God that you stay poor and ignorant and sick and you can't see? Don't you understand? That's your lot in life. Whereas the rest of us who are running by, who are going to see Jesus, we have a different lot in life. Now, do you recognize that this is not our God? Do you recognize that throughout the Scripture, God has destroyed that teaching wherever it has come up? God will not ever let one man put himself above, different than, greater than, another. God demands, and the church has not practiced, total equality. I don't care who you are, what family you come from, how smart, how healthy, how rich, how anything, you must understand this, that God distributes gifts which give differences, but He expects us to use those gifts mercifully to change the equation. Hello? With wisdom. With wisdom. But God expects us to use the gifts that we have to show mercy. To show mercy. And so God is saying, I will show mercy. I will hear this man at the side of the road. But he cried so much the more, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood, that is, he stopped. Now I'm going to tell you something right here. Every cry stops Jesus. Every cry stops Jesus. When Jesus hears the cry of a needy person, he stops right there. Heaven comes to a standstill, if I can put it that way, and he attends to that situation, as he did with Zacchaeus, as he did with every person that he met, the woman that touched him with the issue of blood. Whatever it is, a child brought to him. Jesus will stop what he's doing and attend to the needy. And Jesus stood still, stopped, and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" That is an interesting question. Jesus didn't say, "I see you're a blind man, be healed." That's interesting, isn't it? Jesus, who knows everything, he knew what the trouble was. He said, "Bring that man to me." And as they brought him, you know, he could see either had a cane or had people help him or whatever. He saw the rags. Jesus knew this man. He knew Zacchaeus' name. He might have known Bartimaeus' name. But at any rate, he recognized this was a blind man. You know, the man was there. And Jesus said, "What do you want? What would thou that I should do for you?" That's a very interesting question. Do you realize God is asking you that question? What do you want? And then you could answer, "I want your will." It'd be a nice, pious answer. But Bartimaeus didn't consider that. He said, "I already know your will. I know that you're merciful. I have a need. I don't need to say whatever you want. I'm not going to say, if it's your will that I be healed, heal me. I'm not going to say that. I've already heard in the Word that it is your will to be merciful to the needy. I'm needy. I want your will. I want to be healed." And so Bartimaeus, without any piety, without any religion, without anything but his need, said, "I want to see. That's what I want. I don't want to be forgiven. I don't want to be, you know, some religious thing. I just want to see. That's all. That's all. How can I believe in God if I can't see? How do I know that you've forgiven me if in fact I don't see? What I want is to see. Then I'll know that you've forgiven me. I already believe that you'll forgive me. I already believe that you've called me. When I cried out, I believed that you'd be merciful to me. I'm not doubting that. I already believe in so much so that I'm just going to tell you straight off, I want to see, because I already know that's going to include forgiveness. I heard about the paralytic that you healed, and I heard what you said. I've heard." In other words, he had heard about the reputation of Jesus, and he knew that Jesus said, "Son, thy sins are forgiven thee." And there the guy still is crippled. But Jesus looked on the Pharisees and said, "But that you might know that the Son of Man has power and authority to forgive sins, take up your bed and walk." And he did. And that proved then to them that he was forgiven, which they knew that maybe he could heal him, but what they didn't know is that he could forgive his sins. Now they were convinced that the need of man for forgiveness is greater than the need for healing, but that God does not distinguish the two but ties them together. If you're poor, if you're needy, if you're distraught, if you're distressed, if you have any need whatsoever, what's a need? Anything is a need if you need it. You go, "How do I know the difference between my needs and my wants?" Why worry about it? Let God decide. He said He'd take care of all your needs. Just tell Him what you want. Because He said, "What do you want that I should do for you?" What do you want? Don't worry about it. If you ask too much, don't worry about it. God's not going to destroy you by giving you something you don't need. You know, my children never distinguish between their wants and needs. They just tell me what they want and need. They don't care if it's a want or a need. They don't care if it's a sickness and I need a glass of water, or if it's a want and I want to go to the zoo. They just ask. So why should we be more intelligent? Why should we be more clever? Why should we do some extra work? Just tell God what you want. Pour out your heart to Him. Period. Bartimaeus didn't ask, "Do I need this or do I want this? Is this extravagant? Is this a little bit too much?" He didn't ask that question. And I've never asked it either. If something's on my heart, I just ask. How do I know how big it is? I don't know if it's big or small. All I know is I want it. I need it. That's all I know. And so Bartimaeus said, okay, because you've asked, what wilt thou that I should do for you? What wilt thou? What will your want? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus saith unto him, receive thy sight. And then he gave his condition, thy faith hath made thee well. Thy faith. What faith? Faith that this man, Jesus, somehow was the vehicle for the mercy of God. He didn't think Jesus was God. He thought he was the son of David. He thought he was one of the Messiah line. He didn't know whether he was the Messiah or what he was. He just knew this is a Messiah. The word Messiah, by the way, doesn't always mean Jesus. The word Messiah means anybody who's a deliverer. Chomashiach. It just means anyone. David's called a Messiah. It means anybody whom God uses to bring deliverance to the people. And so he just said, I need a Messiah right now. I don't care if his name is Joshua or David or Abraham or what his name is. I believe you're Jesus. I've heard of your name. Yeshua. I mean Yeshua, Homashiach, come and save me. Show mercy upon me. Give me the hesed of God. And so he did. The word in the Greek is Eliao. And so he just said, I want that. I want that. Just give it to me. And immediately he received his sight and followed him and glorified God. Two things there. Immediately, as he received his sight, he became a disciple and he became a worshiper of God. You see, miracles result in discipleship. They build up the church of God. Immediately, when you've received a touch from God or something from God, God puts you into a family and you become a disciple of Jesus. And you are to be trained. It's not enough just to be healed. It's not enough just to get a call. It's not enough just to be forgiven. But you are brought then into a body, and immediately he began to follow him. Naturally, it meant he physically followed him around. I would too. He just started to follow him around. And you can imagine him shouting everywhere he went, this man just healed me! Praise God! Praise God! This man has the power of God! This man, oh, look, I see, remember me? Yeah. What happened? I just told you. Jesus has healed me. Jesus has healed you. We've heard other crazy stories like that. Now he's down there with Zacchaeus, that hated guy. I don't like this guy, Jesus. Yeah, but he just healed me. Okay, well, that's good, but look at, he's over here with a sinner. We don't think that's right. That's not right. He couldn't be of God. Yeah, but he just healed me. That's good, but that doesn't mean anything to us. You know, what do you know? You see? How do we know you were blind? You know, even if they knew it, they're gonna mock you. Hello. You know, the world, even when it sees signs, doesn't always believe. Did you know that? But praise God, as this blind man began yelling and shouting and following God and glorifying God, it said that all the people who were around there began to glorify God. And all the people, when they saw it, not when they believed, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. Now, see, that's how God gets praise from the ungodly. The godly praise God beforehand. The godly praise God beforehand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, we didn't have to wait to see it. We just praise God. We give thanks unto God for what He's done. I tell you, it's hard, you know, when you know what everyone is telling you and you look at the circumstances, you don't want to praise God. Everything in you doesn't want to. But Jesus said, and here is the question of faith, don't regard what you see. Don't regard what men say. I tell you, I have heard your cry. Now, you drop it. You drop it. You just then believe. You walk out in faith. Now, God wants to encourage us to know that, look, if we're to reach out to this world, the one thing they have is needs. Whether there's Zacchaeus at the top of the heap, but lonely and full of guilt, or whether they're Bartimaeus at the bottom of the heap, somebody has a need out there. Everybody. Jesus said, I didn't come for the righteous. I came for sinners. I came to declare that they need to repent, to turn away. Not to repent in the sense of, stop your sinning or I'm going to get you. Repent in the sense this, stop trying to think that you can get anything by all your sinning. I'm the giver of all good gifts. It isn't that you've committed murder or adultery, or that you've been greedy, I imagine many of you have tried to stop being greedy. I'm not going to be greedy anymore. I promise today I'm not going to be greedy. I'm not going to lust today. No, I'm not going. I'm going to have a whole day without lust. You can't get rid of sin in such a manner. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Good. We have some experienced people. You will never, ever, ever, ever in this life get rid of that nature, that sin nature. So don't look forward to the day when you won't be tempted. It will not come in this life. Now, then what do you have? You have this. Put your eyes on Jesus. Jesus is not impressed that you didn't sin or that you did sin. He's looking for faith. Have mercy upon me, O son of David. That's the need of this world. We always need mercy. Many of us are hoping that we're going to improve one of these days. I imagine 9/10 of us are still looking for that day. The other 10th are just depressed. But 9/10 of us are still hoping that we're going to improve. We're getting a lot better. We've actually, last week was a lot better than the week before. It's not going to get better. You can only lie more cleverly. There's only one hope you have, Jesus. There's only one who is righteous, Jesus. There's only one hope you have, Jesus. Isn't this good news? What you need is mercy. You don't want justice. Under the law, we have no hope. Even those who think they've done a little bit better than last week. It's only because the light, the full light of the gospel, the full light of the Lamb, the full light of God is not shown upon you that you have such an illusion. We need mercy. I tell you, you don't improve. If this old flesh could improve, Jesus wouldn't have to die on the cross. If he could patch up the old garment, he would have. We need a brand new garment, a brand new nature, that which comes from the outside, that which he has put on the inside, which is not like us at all. It's something different. And so we cry out like Bartimaeus. We're all blind. You know, Bartimaeus, in a way, represents the whole history of mankind. There's another story about a blind man in John. It tells about a man that they were passing by and they saw this man who was blind from birth. And this man also Jesus healed. And they were trying to figure out, why was this guy blind? Was it his sin or his parents' sin? Or, you know, did it come down through the generations? Or, you know, how did this thing happen that this man was born blind? Because, you know, it's hard for little kids, little babies, 1 second old, to commit a lot of sins. So why was this kid punished? From zero, from, you know, when he was in the womb, he suddenly had no eyes. He couldn't see. It must have been his parents' sin, and that's their what they get then as a blind child. Now, you see, that's the kind of theology that many, I would say all of us have that theology, even if you've gotten above it, that's in you. That's just natural with us, is, I know why that kid, you know, and we just have that view of God. That's the natural view of God, that God is that kind of a cruel and ugly and heartless God that you're getting what you deserve. You know? And that's why there's no hope in any of the nations of this world who don't know the gospel. There's no hope. That's why America's the only place where people are crazy. Hello. It's the only people where people are crazy enough to feel that they could do something. That we could accomplish. In Mozambique, they don't feel they can accomplish anything. The only reason now that the Marxists have taken over and that they're pumping the people with slogans and words, which they can't fulfill. The only reason is, all of those Marxists were trained in missionary schools. You understand that? Hope does not come from this world. That is the highest foolishness, to believe in hope. Hope comes from the gospel. The Marxists borrowed it from Jesus. It comes from the West. It comes from where the gospel was preached. It comes from us who say, we're crazy enough to think that you don't have to stay in blindness. You don't have to stay in poverty. You don't have to stay in ignorance. You can do something about your life and that God is for you doing something. He's not against you saying, what are you trying to better yourself for? Get down. Behave yourself. Accept what's your lot. That's Eastern religion. That's what they call karma. Where, que sera, sera. What will be, fate. That's what the world lives under, and most Americans live under that. Most Christian Americans live under that. And they attach that to God. But God does never say that. God comes into the world always to change it. He started it with Abraham, back way before that. But Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and David and Daniel and Isaiah and Jesus and Elijah and Paul and Peter and you and I. to say, change this world. I don't want it to be the same. I want you to use hesed. I want you to use my hesed. And I want you to go, and when you see someone in need, change it right there on the spot. Change it. If they need money, give them money. If they need bread, feed them. If they don't know how to do something, train them. If they're ignorant, give them some knowledge. If they lack wisdom, you know, speak the word of the Lord to them. If they're sick, heal them. Whatever it is, show mercy. Don't say, God bless you, go and be warm. Don't say, I'm sorry now, I've got to get in. I've got to go back to my normal way of life. I'm doing all right, but I can't touch you. I'm sorry you're in that condition. It's too bad God gave you that. But you'll have to work it out for yourself. You know, I can't help you. Look, you don't always have to play God with people, but they have some need that you can meet. Even if it's to rebuke them. Sometimes you need to rebuke people and say, look, what you need is not a dollar. What you need is to go to work. Okay, that's all right, but give them something. And give them something that works. Show mercy to them. Don't be an enemy to them saying, I'm not going to help you. Go to them and say, look, I'm speaking hard to you because I'm trying to help you. This is what's going to help you. And I'm going to guarantee that I help you because I'm going to watch you day after day. And I'll make sure that this thing works one way or the other. I'm for you. I'm on your side. I'm going to use all my power, all my ability, my God, to help you. Now, no one's going to resent that. No one's going to resent that. We have the power of God. We have the authority of God. He said, you'll do greater things than I've done. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, look, this... Bring it, you know, sometimes you get afraid when you hear about the great things. You go, oh, I'll never do that. You know, all right, start where we are. If my dad is sick right now, that's where I am. Who cares about, you know, feeding the multitudes? I don't want to feed the multitudes right now. I just want to see my dad well. I don't have any fancy this and that. Just heal him. I don't have any great prayers. Lord, have mercy. Now, I want to look at some of the Psalms that I've been looking at, that I think Bartimaeus was looking at. First of all, in Psalm 106, this is a powerful scripture because it's talking all about the fact that when people get into trouble, it can be from their sins. Now listen, many times, verse 43, Psalm 106, many times did God deliver the people, but they provoked him with their counsel. In other words, they sinned. I don't care how you got blind. I don't care how you got a heart attack. I don't care how you got poor, why you're ignorant, what's wrong with this or that. Nevertheless, God is remembering His covenant, His mercy, His promises, His word. And He regards your affliction. And He has mercy on it when He hears your cry. All you got to do is say, help, God. You don't have to say, I promise I'll never do it again. I've made those kind of promises. They're silly, aren't they? I promise this time. I know why this is all happening. It's because of my sin. And I'm not going to do it anymore. Today's going to be a lot better than yesterday. I'm actually going to get up this morning and read my scripture early, like I said I was going to do yesterday and yesterday and yesterday and yesterday. But I'm going to really do it today. I mean, I'm really going to do it. If you will do this for me, I'll make this bargain with you, God. You don't need to bargain with God. God doesn't count all the days you didn't do it. Just as a sin, forgiven, forgotten, let's go on. Do you have a need today? It may be because you didn't read the word. So what? God just cancel that out and start again. Start afresh. Wipe it clean. Get going again. Because He'll regard not the fact that you didn't do it. He'll regard your affliction and the cry that you have. Listen to this scripture. It's powerful. And He remembered for them His covenant. And He remembered for them His covenant. And He remembered for them His covenant. I love it. Isn't that exciting? That because when you go to pray, you feel suddenly, oh, I don't qualify here. I'll bet I'm not in on this thing. I'll bet if I was better. Maybe Robert could get this done. Maybe, I think if Elizabeth were here, it could happen. I wish Pastor were here right now. Somebody called 2 days ago and, you know, Pastor, where are you? And you know, we weren't available immediately. And so we went into prayer when we heard about it, but we couldn't get back to him. It was Andy and Mary Gilliam. And he had some kind of kidney thing or, no, it turned out to be some blockage or something. Anyway, he's fine this morning. But, you know, where are you? You know, but here's the thing. Jesus hears your cry. All you got to do is have that cry. And He'll remember His mercy for you. And it says, and He remembered for them His covenant and repented according to the multitude of His mercies. God repented. God repented. You know what that means? That means God changed His mind. God said, oh, wait a minute. Let's not have sin have its effect here. Let's have mercy have its effect. Because this guy sinned, and I told him not to sin, and if he did, justice would get on him. Now, It's a good thing that justice isn't God's last name. Justice includes mercy. His name is Justice Mercy. This is God, Justice Mercy. You see, because mercy must be included, it's just. When God is merciful, He's still being just. Because He paid for it Himself. Jesus paid for that. It was paid for. Jesus paid for it. Jesus is the one that sinned. That is, He didn't sin, but He took the price. He paid the price. He said, it's just as though I sinned, I'll pay for it, now it's paid for. Now then, why can't I cry to God? On the basis of righteousness, not mine, but His. But it comes to me because He said so. And I have faith. I believe in the covenant of mercy. I believe in God's justice mercy. I believe that what He said right here, He remembered for them His covenant and repented according to the multitude of His mercies. Save us, O God, and gather us from among the heathen to give thanks unto Thy holy name, and others for worship again, and to triumph in Thy praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting, and let all the people say, and listen to what they say, Amen. Praise be the Lord. Let's say it. Amen. Praise be the Lord. That's what God's looking for. Amen. You see, when something happens, then we glorify God. Now listen to some other ones. This is 19, verse 107, Psalm 107. Then they cry unto the Lord. Again, I want to stress to you, do not pray in your normal voice. When you pray, pray loud. Jesus was heard for His loud cries. I'm going to say that again. When you're desperate, you cannot be desperate like this. Oh God, help me. That's not desperate. You see, that's not desperate. When you're desperate, and I'm not talking about the timbre of your voice here. I'm just indicating something that it must come right out of your belly. God, do something! You know, so you say, please do something. You know, do something. Do something. Do something! That's your, boy, you are earnest then. You see, the earnestness of that last one is, you know, forget religiosity. Forget the thous and the thems and the these. Let's get to it. God, heal him. I don't know how to pray. Just do it. Show mercy. Help. Save. And you know, when you get down to a prayer like that, those are the kind of prayers God answers. Simple, straightforward, right from the heart. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. He sent His word and He healed them. That's how God heals. And delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing. Where? In the great congregation. That's why we come to church. We come to church not only to worship God, not only to encourage one another, but to give thanks unto God for what He's done. That's why we have testimony times. Listen, these scriptures are so powerful. 86:5. We're going to close with these few scriptures. They're very powerful. 86:5. For Thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon Thee. In the day of trouble I will call upon Thee, for Thou wilt answer me. Among the gods there's no one like You, neither are there any works like unto Your works. All nations whom Thou hast made shall come and worship before You, O Lord. You shall be glorified, and we shall glorify Your name, for Thou art great and doest wondrous things, for Thou art Lord alone. You know, this is what God is looking for. How can you say these words unless you've experienced the goodness of God? You can't just say them in faith. You can't just say these in faith. You say them because you've experienced the hesed of God. You've experienced the miraculous wonder and power of God. That's what this world needs to see and hear. I'm not ashamed. I'm not going to hold back and say, I wish I had a lesson on how to witness. You know, when my dad is up walking, I'm not going to have to be taught how to witness. Well, I don't know how to say this. Let's see. My dad was just healed. Yeah, it'll be easy. My dad was just healed. Pray, tell him, Dad. You know, here he is. Look at this. I'm going to fly him down here. You know, say it, Dad, and he'll just grin. You know, he won't know how to talk, but he'll just grin. You know, and that's it. That's it. That's it. Hallelujah. You don't need to be taught how to witness, how to share when God's a living God. Listen to this. Thou hast set our iniquities before Thee, our secret sins from the light of Thy countenance. I mean, God knows everything. But the days of our years are 70. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet, and hallelujah, teach us the number of our days. Satisfy us early with mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein Thou hast afflicted us, and the years where we've seen evil. But let Thy work appear unto Thy servants, and Thy glory unto their children. In other words, even as we've suffered, now, Lord God, show the world that we're yours. Show that there's a difference between the Egyptians and your people. That is, the wicked and the godly. Show that there's a difference between those that believe and those that don't. That those that have a need and cry out and get mercy from you. You see, you don't have to be a Christian to get mercy from God. Anybody can have mercy from God. Just say, Lord, I'm poor. I'm tired of it. I don't want to be poor anymore. I'm sick. I'm needy. Whatever it is. I feel guilty. I don't want to do it anymore. And I've read in the book. I've heard from somebody. I've seen whatever. I want it. Please give it to me. That's all. Simple prayer like that. Praise God. A little bit more. O Lord, God of my salvation, I've cried day and night before Thee. Let my prayer come before Thee. For my soul is full of troubles. My life draweth nigh unto the grave. This is Bill's dad. This is my dad. This is many of us. I am counted with them that go down into the pit. I am as a man that hath no strength, free among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, whom rememberest thou no more. They're cut off from thy hand. Thou hast laid me in the lowest pit, in darkness in the deeps. Thy wrath lieth hard upon me, and thou hast afflicted me with all thy waves. Thou hast put away my acquaintance far from me, no friends, in other words. Thou hast made me an abomination unto them. I'm shut up. I can't come forth. Mine eye mourneth by reason of affliction. Lord, I've called daily upon thee. I've stretched out my hands to thee. Wilt thou show wonders to the dead? No. Shalt the dead arise and praise thee? Never. Shall thy loving kindness be declared in the grave? Not at all. Shall thy faithfulness in destruction? I mean, how is God going to be praised when someone dies? Someone says, well, that's to the glory of God too. It isn't. It isn't. God wants to raise from the dead. He wants to show that he has power in this world, not for your sake. I know if my dad dies, praise God. He's a Christian. He loves God. He's going to heaven. There's no problem. Glory to God. It's his homecoming. It's not for his sake. It's for the sake of this world. It's for my mom. It's for the church. It's to encourage. It's to show forth the glory of God. Why does my dad live? Not for himself to be healthy and well. Not just to be blessed himself. He'll be blessed greater in heaven. No, no, no. It's for others. That's what it's for. That's why God wants this to come forth so that he can be glorified. Shall thy wonders be known in the dark? Thy righteousness in the land of forgetfulness? But now, unto thee, O Lord, I cried. In the morning shall my prayer come before thee. Lord, why castest thou off my soul? Why do you hide your face from me? I'm afflicted. I'm ready to die from my youth up. While I suffer thy terrors, I'm distracted. Thy fierce wrath has gone over me. Thy terrors have cut me off. They come round about me daily like water. They compass me together. Lover and friend, thou hast taken far from me my acquaintance into darkness. But I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth I'll make known thy faithfulness to all generations. I've said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David, my servant. You see it? David has a covenant that God will be merciful. And Bartimaeus cried out and said, O God, there's no one like you. Mercy and truth is before thee. You see, God is encouraging us today. If you have a need, the cry of the needy is all that he needs, that he will answer us. I tell you, we are sent into this world with this message, first to receive it ourselves. You must be recipients yourselves before you could declare it honestly, truthfully, effectively to the world. This world needs so much to hear that message. God is merciful. God will forgive Zacchaeus. He'll heal Bartimaeus. He will feed the hungry. He said in Luke, the 4th chapter, the 18th verse, do you know why I've come? I've come to preach good news to the poor. I've come to lift up the downhearted. I've come to open the prison doors, to open the eyes of the blind. I've come to do good. I've come to declare the acceptable year of the Lord, to forgive sins, to put away iniquities. Whatever's needed, I've come to do it. This is the year of the Lord. I've come. The world will never be the same again. This is the kingdom of God. This is the kingdom of God. This is why we're here. We are here to change our world. Praise God, we're going to do it. Can you say amen?
Amen.
We are here to show mercy. We have received mercy. Now let us show mercy. Let us show the mercy of God. Wherever there's a needy person, let us show the mercy of God. I want you to stand on your feet. Let us close our eyes right now. Father God, these are the people that need your mercy. Every one of us needs the mercy of God. Every one of us is in some kind of need, Lord God, this morning. We haven't come here strong. We've come here without strength, but you are our strength. Oh God, even to be alive today, just to breathe, we need thee every hour. I thank you, Lord God, that no good thing shall be withheld from us. Because we need it, Lord God. We want it. We've been reluctant in the past to ask so boldly, to say, well, I don't know if this is really necessary or not. I have so many things. Maybe God wouldn't give me something more. Oh God, move upon the heart of such a one and say, whatever you want. What do you want? What do you need? Let me do it for you. Let me prove myself to you. Let me prove my extravagance toward you so that you may reach out to others. You don't have to be like Bartimaeus. You can be like Zacchaeus. Be like anybody. We're all in need. I thank you, Lord God, that you came for sinners. You came most of all to save sinners. But you came to release us all and to prove that as sin has been forgiven, so all things now, whether sickness or poverty or ignorance or whatever, all things now must be touched by the gospel of God. Immediately, miraculously, wonderfully, gloriously. That's what this world needs to see. Time is short. The days are running out. And I thank you, Lord God, that you have sent us to the nations. You have sent us here to our city. You have sent us to our neighborhoods, to our families. You have sent us and said, who will go for me? Who may I send? Who will show mercy? Who will show the power and glory of God in a hesed way, in a loving way, to reveal my bowels of mercy, to reveal my loving kindness, to show who I am? The God of justice and mercy. A God of power and might. A God who uses all of His holiness and power and might and mercy to bless, to help, to sustain, to lift up, to encourage, to fill up the needy with good things, to send the rich empty away, but to lift up those that have nothing. Oh, I thank you, Lord God, that the high and mighty have nothing, and that the poor and the needy are on your heart, that we might know that there is a God who cares, who sees the Bartimaeuses, who hears the cry of the needy. I pray right now, if there's any that are needy here, that they would raise their hand and say, I am needy. Just raise your hand right now. Praise the Lord. Okay, put your hand down. Thank you, Jesus. Is there anyone here who has the greatest need of all, which is the need for salvation? You say, I've been a church member. I've been one of those religious persons. I haven't shown mercy. I haven't shown mercy. And I need mercy myself this morning. I need to be saved. I need to have that God kind of mercy inside of me. I need to give up my old life. I want to be like Zacchaeus today. Let salvation come to my house. I need salvation. Raise your hand right now. If you've come today and you say, you know, I'm a church member, but I'm not saved. I need salvation. Is there anyone here who wants to just say, Lord God, I want to give you my life? Don't be fooled by the fact that you've been in church all your life. Say, I've never personally given you my heart. I've never personally said, Lord God, I want to receive all your mercy for me. I need it. I need it. Is there anyone here? Anyone who is not saved? Oh, don't leave here today without being saved. It's the only thing that really matters. If you would to leave here today and miss salvation, it would be upon our conscience that we didn't give you an opportunity to reach out to God this very hour and come into the goodness of God, know the mercy of God, the loving kindness of God. Is there anyone? Okay, those that raise their hand, please come down to the front right now. We have elders, others come down. Whoever wants to come down and pray. All of you who raised your hand saying, I need this morning the mercy of God. We don't have to know what it is. You don't have to tell. Just say, I need the mercy of God. Come on down. We need more people to pray. You need some more people to come down and pray. We need some more people. We need some women especially. We need some women to come down and pray. Hallelujah. Margaret, come, pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Right here. Dorinda, just come and lay your hands upon this lady. Hallelujah. Let's just pray for the mercy of God on these people. The rest of us who are out, just stand before God and cry out to God for them. Just, oh Lord God, show mercy unto these. They have needs today that you don't know. They're deep needs. Tomorrow you will have some need. Today they do. So, oh God, show them mercy. As you are merciful, God will be merciful unto you. Extend your mercy toward these people. Just extend your mercy toward these people. Oh God, hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Just a few more minutes. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, Father God, we just cry out to you, Lord God. Have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon John Borchard. Have mercy upon Mr. Hanshaw. Right now, in the name of Jesus, we need to experience now what we've preached. We need to believe that there is a God of mercy that answers prayer. Oh, God, answer prayer. Be your covenant-keeping God. Answer this simple prayer. Save us, oh God. Keep your covenant. Keep your promise, Lord God. Prove yourself to be who you are. Demonstrate yourself now. Oh, Lord God, we don't need this to be saved. We need this to show and to prove that you are a good God, a God to be dependent upon, a God that keeps his word. Father God, we love you. We thank you that Jesus has come. We stand on the covenant of Jesus, the covenant of David, the covenant of Abraham, the covenant of God. Oh, thank you, Lord God, that we can trust you, that we can depend upon you, that we can count upon every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. We don't care what man says. We don't care what we see with our eyes. We believe the word of God. We glorify you, Lord. We thank you that this is a great day, a glorious day. We give you all the praise. This is only the beginning of what God will do. Hallelujah. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen and amen.